It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the dispensation of the church, we've been looking at the Jerusalem church. And as the Jerusalem church got started, we've seen how that there was 120 people in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came in fullness of power and gave the people the power to be witnesses unto the Lord Jesus Christ for him in this world. Well, as they went forth, that 120, they spread the gospel in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible tells us that there was about 3,000 souls who got saved. So we see that the early church consisted of approximately 3,120 people in the beginning there. Well, certain things happened at the Jerusalem church. This was a local church. I've talked about this, that there was fear. You say, well, should there be fear when we think about a local church? Well, this would be a reverential fear. I believe that churches today lack this reverential fear. People used to fear God, but we don't see that so much anymore. People seem to shake their fist in the face of God, and they just believe that they have everything they need. They need nothing else, especially from God. Well, in the early church, fear fell upon the people because they saw things happening. They saw wonders. Acts chapter 2 and verse 43 says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Well, this would strike fear in the heart of those people around. We need churches today who are standing up on the Word of God, people getting saved, and that the people who are not saved would see this as coming from God, and there would be a reverential fear. I would to God that more churches would stand upon the Word of God and do what God says. Well, there was unity in the church. The Bible says there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 44, "And all that believed were together." They had unity. And then the people had all things common. God does not favor one person above another. According to Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, it says there, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." It makes no difference who we are when we get saved. It's the fact is that we all have things common. We got saved the same way. There's only one way to heaven, one way of salvation, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, of course, Acts 2:44 says that about these people, they had all things common. And then we see that people sold possessions. Well, the Bible doesn't say they sold all of their possessions. This, of course, would be to help those individuals who had traveled a great distance to share with them the things that they had, that the people in Jerusalem had. Remember, there was people from all nations there, and these would be travelers who needed help. So the people in this early church, they helped each other, and those who had possessions, they sold some of those possessions in order to help brothers and sisters in Christ who were there. And notice also, we've talked about this, that the church helped when needed. And this goes along with the same idea of the people selling their possessions. Remember, the Bible does not say they sold everything, all of their possessions. It simply tells us they sold possessions. Now, this teaches me that the church is to help. The benevolent church helps those in need, not only the people of God, but those people who are without the church. And why was this done in the early church? Well, everything was done to spread the gospel. And that's what we need to do today in God's church, in His churches today. Local church is to spread the Word of God. Now, notice also that the church, now I'm speaking of the Jerusalem church now, the church was respected. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, it says the church had favor with all the people. The church even had the respect of those who had not received Christ as Savior. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We need to have the people today of God's church to be respected. And of course, people of God's church, they are the church. They represent Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We are the people of God once we've trusted Him as our Lord and Savior. Well, the people of the early church, they were respected. And notice also the Lord added to the church. Now, I've mentioned this as earlier, that the Lord added individuals to this local church. And this is the first mention of the word church in the book of Acts, as we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. And the Lord added to the church. Now, you see, we do not save souls. The Lord does. We do not add to the church. The Lord does. Programs, music, activities, clubs, fellowship, inviting to the local church building, feeding the poor, helping the needy, and so forth and so forth, and on it goes. This does not add to God's church. However, good, those things mentioned are that I've just said, only God can add to His church. Nothing should ever take the place of or have the preeminence over the preaching of the Word of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15 and 16, it says, Paul the Apostle says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then we keep reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God, the preaching of the word. God's word does the work. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Well, you say, what does that mean, the foolishness of preaching? You see, a person who does not believe God, a person who does not receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, a person who does not listen to the Word of God, it's foolishness to them. They do not believe. When that person actually comes to a place in his or her life when they look to God and they say, Lord, now I understand. I believe, Lord. I trust you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for me on the cross. You shed your blood for me, and I'm receiving you as Lord and Savior. Well, at that point, when a person does that, no longer is the preaching of the word foolishness to them. They've come to the understanding that wise people come to, and that is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, not only these things that I've already mentioned happened in the early church, but there was actually more results that took place, and lives were changed. Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, it says, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. These people in the local church at Jerusalem, they did the work of God. They were accused of turning the world upside down. Things happened that people could not explain except that it came from God. God was the one who was doing the work there. It all came from God. Well, the church at Jerusalem was a supernatural church because they let God do a supernatural work through them. And once again, we as the children of God today who belong to local churches, we need to let God do the job. We don't have to add all these programs and all the music and all of this. Well, now, it's not wrong to have good music. I'm talking about biblical music. I'm talking about the music that glorifies God, not the body, not the person doing it. In other words, not the musical instruments. We need to be glorifying God in everything we do in the local church. And once again, it should not be to draw people in. It should be to glorify God. Everything that's done in the local church should be done to glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And remember, Jesus said he came to glorify the Father. When we glorify Jesus Christ, we're glorifying the Father because Jesus Christ came to glorify the Father. Well, he also came to seek and to save those who were lost. We know that. We've trusted him as our Lord and Savior. And we need to be giving out the Word of God. And every time we do that, we're glorifying God. We're letting people know that God loves them and that he wants them to be in heaven one day with him. Well, we've looked at the early church. And we've looked at several things concerning God's church, the dispensation of the church. But there's coming a time when this dispensation will close. It will stop. There will be no more people saved. No more. When I say no more people saved, let me clarify that. There will be no more people added to the local church at a certain period of time. And that certain period of time will take place known as the rapture of the church. Now, there are people who criticize this term rapture. It means the catching away. And we're going to look at this, and it will become clearer to us. And to you, I pray that as you listen, it will become clearer how that God's plan, it always works, because God has always had a plan. And he does not leave us guessing. He does not leave us to a point of trying to figure out where he's going. We just need to let him go to do what he wants to do and have his will, not only in our lives, but in the lives of other people and the lives the future lives of people who will be upon this earth. And we just need to realize that God does have a plan. And his main plan is for people to be saved, to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, let me start by saying there are certain people who look at the Bible and they get different ideas about what the rapture of the church really is. Well, let me start by saying and pointing out something that what the rapture of the church is not. The rapture of the church is not the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we look at this, and we need to have an open mind as we study the Word of God. Now, the second coming of Christ is not the rapture. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And we keep reading in the book of Genesis, and we see in verse 12 of chapter 6, it says, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." And let me say that that there are things happening in our day and time that actually resemble what was going on just before the flood came and took all the wicked people away. Now, I say wicked. I'm speaking of those who had not received Jesus Christ. You say Jesus was spoken of back then. God has always had the same plan, and that plan is for people to be saved through every dispensation of time. And I say time because we look at it as time. God says it's a dispensation that we are using to further Jesus Christ and his plan, God's plan. Today, I wonder if you have receive God's plan of salvation. That is, you've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Won't you do that today? Call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.